In the name of God, the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We'll look at some of the things in the Gospel according to St. John this morning, so you might want to turn to that. We're coming in the middle of a conversation. They've entered Jerusalem in great triumph and majesty. The people have come out with palms, and they've laid their cloaks in front of the Lord to welcome the king, welcome the one that they think will throw out the Romans and restore the dignity of the nation. But now the shadow of the cross is falling. And the disciples still can't quite see it coming. But Jesus is beginning to talk to them about it. He's beginning to prepare them for the passion, the trial, the passion, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. They'll understand almost nothing of it until after the resurrection. But as he talks to them in this somber way, the mood is shifting from the high of the entry, their fervent expectations for the restoration of their nation, and the very human desire for glory and honor and success. And they feel it slipping away from them. And the mood now is danger, anxiety. Jesus is saying to them, I'm going now, and you're not going to be able to come with me. Peter protests. He says, Lord, I'll go with you anywhere. I'll lay down my life for you. And Jesus says to Peter, tonight before the cock crows, twice you will deny me, three times. So he continues to explain to them, and they are troubled indeed. And he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. And then he says, believe in God and believe also in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled, believe in God. Now this is a quote from the scripture. Jesus is quoting his namesake, Jesus, Yahshua. The leadership of Israel is taken away from Moses because of a lack of trust. The people have a failure of trusting God. And Moses has a failure of trusting God. And because of that, Moses doesn't get to go into the promised land with the people. And the leadership of Israel is given over to Joshua. God saves. God has rescued them from slavery. He's given them a new and a holy way of life. He's sustained them day by day in the desert. And now he's brought them to the brink of the promised land. They're right on the bank of the Jordan River. He's made a way out of no way at the Red Sea. He's going to make a way out of no way again at the Jordan River. And they're going to have to cross over in faith. They're going to have to cross over in trust. And Joshua says to them, let not your hearts, they're worried about the giants in the land, and Joshua says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Now Jesus says, as they stand on the bank of another Jordan River, the Jordan River that they all know of is a figure. It has a history, it has a story. God let his people out of the desert into the promised land. And now they stand on the edge of another Jordan River. We remember that he began his ministry in the Jordan River. He went down under the waters of the Jordan, and when he came out, the heavens opened, and the dove came down, and the voice was heard, this is my son. And he's made that water a means by which we can have our sins washed away and live in him so that he can live in us. But now another meaning of the Jordan River is being revealed. He says in the Gospel of John, I have a baptism to be baptized with, how I am constrained until it takes place. The river that he has to go under, the waters that he has to be immersed in, they're the waters of the hardness, the rebellious hardness of the human heart. And they're the waters that have to do with the uncanny evil that stalks us, the darkness within and the darkness without. We with them, do not let your hearts be troubled. He's talking to his disciples as they stand on the edge of that bank. And he's about to say to them, I'm going to make a way. I'm going first. I'm going to make a way for you. Then come back and get you. And their hearts are troubled because they see him going they know it's a confrontation. They know it's a final confrontation. But where are the angels? Where are the army? They see no weapons. It's literally the naked word of God that's going to make the way, that's going to defeat the darkness within and the darkness without. He's nothing else but the seeking, searching, sacrificial love of God. And he's going to that final confrontation, and he's going to be immersed in the waters of darkness, the waters that threaten to drown us, that well up both within and that come at us from without. Do not let your hearts be troubled. As Joshua led the people, God again made a way out of no way. Again, he's going to make a way out of no way. Joshua led the people through. I'm going to lead you through. I'm going to go first, and I'm going to make a way for you. I'm going to come back and get you and lead you through. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. It's identifying himself with the Father. Now he says, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. The old King James said mansions, and you get many translations for this. The actual word here is the word for tent. And it's a word, you know, like this happens over and over again in the Bible. There's a word and there's a whole story behind the word, and you have to know the whole story to know what the word means. Moses comes down from the mountain. He has the two tablets, the holy and a righteous way of life. Live this way and never be slaves again. And then he says to them, build a tent. And it's going to have three parts to it. One, two, three. And in the Holy of Holies will be the Ark of the Covenant. And on top of the Ark of the Covenant will be the mercy seat where the priest goes once a year to make a reconciliation between God and his people. And this tent of meeting, this tent, will be the abiding place, will be the place where God abides with his people and where the people come to abide with God. Now, St. John has made it very clear for us that the tabernacle and the temple were good, but the better is here. Tear this temple down, and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. The mercy seat, the meeting place, the abiding place, is now in Jesus Christ the Lord. He's come from the Father to bring us to the Father. He is the place where a holy and a righteous God and a hard-hearted and rebellious humanity meet and are joined. And where God abides with us, and we abide with God. Now, there are many dwelling places. It's a reference to how the tent of meeting led them through the wilderness. Right? He's going now, in this final immersion, to conquer with his sacrifice of love the darkness within and the darkness without, and to bring forth from the grave a new life in the power of the Spirit. And in him, in, by, and through him, now is the dwelling place of God with us and of us with God. It's bought at great price, It comes in the power of the resurrection. It comes by the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he's come from the Father, and he's come back to bring us back to the Father. And like he led the people through the desert, he'll lead us. And there'll be many dwelling places. There'll be many congregations. There'll be many celebrations of the Holy Eucharist. There'll be many times when two or three are gathered in his name, and there he is, abiding in the midst of them. And they're abiding in him. And there'll be the final dwelling place. He prepares a place for us. They know he can do this. When they came into the city, he said, go and follow this man. He'll take you to that room that is prepared. And there they did abide with him, and he did abide with them. And so he does every time we break the bread and bless the wine. And then he says these words that are difficult for contemporary people. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Immediately we begin to ask about, well, what about the practitioners of other religions? What about good and decent people that have no particular religion? For some reason, our minds go immediately to speculation. And we begin to think of it in this way. Is it a test? And if we believe in the right God and the right religion, then God will reward us. If we believe in the wrong religion, then God will punish us. No, that's not how it works. If you want to read some very sane and sober words about this, read the Vatican document Lumen Gentium that talks about how the followers of other religions might indeed be saved. But that's not the belief that's being talked about here. The belief that's being talked about here is this kind of belief. A man is drowning, and someone comes and reaches out his hand and says, take my hand. I can save you. Believe me. That's what it's like. It's trust. Faith, the theologian Leslie Newbegin says, faith is where the wherewithal we reach out and grab hold for ourselves of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Believe in me. Trust in me. Take my hand. Do not let speculation about someone else stand between you and the hand that is outstretched to you. Between you and the one who says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I make a dwelling place. I've gone and prepared a place for you, and I've come to bring you back to it. Now, at the end of this gospel, a very remarkable thing is said. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will do also the works that I do. In fact, will do greater works than I do. Jesus says to us, we will do greater works than he does. It's an astonishing thing. Well, how can that be? When he was walking in Palestine, who was it that did abide with him? Were they thousands? Were they tens of thousands? I don't know. How many down through the years and in the years to come will be able to abide with him? Because two or three come together in his name and he fulfills his promise. How many will be able to abide with him when we obey his command with the bread and with the wine? How many will abide with him in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and walking in the good works that he has prepared for us to walk in? Millions upon millions upon millions. And so this is a call to us that we should trust in him and abide in him in such a way that we make it possible for others to abide. For others to reach out and grasp the hand that is offered to them and to answer, I believe, the one who says, come unto me. Come unto me. And I will refresh you and make you well. In the name of God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.